Joshua 13. We've been going through the division of the land, and we're in the section of the children of Reuben, what they were given. So we're going to continue on with that, and we made it to verse 20 last time. So we're going to pick up in verse 20 and we'll move forward. So that's why if it starts with and if we think, why are we there? It's because we ended at that point last time. So Joshua 13:20, it picks up and says, and Beth Peor and Ashdoth Pisgah and Beth Jeshmoth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for another wonderful Lord's Day and beautiful start to the day, and looking forward to all that you have for us throughout the day. But Father, right now we're going to be continuing on our journey through Joshua, and as we look at the division of the land and how much was actually given to Israel, it's just amazing that to this day they still do not possess all of it. And to this day, there's people that are still trying to take back what they are possessing. And so we just thank you for what you're going to accomplish through this as we look at this, and pray that our focus and attention would remain on Israel and what's going on over there, as that's going to be the center of attention in the days to come. And I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified, and that more than anything, we would keep our eyes riveted on the Savior and not on the circumstances, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's so-called Peor, the idol of the Moabites, and where very likely there had been a temple built to honor of it. Over against this place was a valley where Israel abode for some time. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 29, it tells us, so we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. So it tells us that that's where they were for some time. And then Ashdod Pisgah in Deuteronomy 3:17, it talks about the plain also in Jordan and the coast thereof from Chinnereth even unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea under Ashdod Pisgah eastward. And Beth Jeshimoth, Numbers 33:49, tells us, and they pitched by Jordan from Beth Jeshimoth even unto Abel Shittim in the plains of Moab. And then continuing on in Joshua, starting in verse 21 now, says, and all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses smote with the princes of Midian, Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, which were dukes of Sihon, dwelling in the country. And as we've gone through this, we keep seeing how God gave them the victory over much, much people. And even though they were few in number at times against the enemy, God still gave them the great victory. And now God is giving them this land, which is theirs. And as I've said before, and as the Bible points out, this is their land. They're not to give it up. It's theirs. It's supposed to pass on from generation to generation in each of these tribes. It's not supposed to be given away. It's not supposed to be sold. It's supposed to be kept. And God gave it to them, and if God gives you something, it's yours. Man will try to take it, and man has tried. How many times have you heard about what's going on in Israel where they keep sending rockets over at them, and they're trying their best to wipe Israel out and to take that land? And yet they're still there. Man is not going to prevail against Israel. God will always have a remnant. Now, we've seen through all this where some of them have lost their lives because of what they've done. But God has still kept a remnant going, and there always will be. These are God's chosen people, and they will always be there. And then this talks about, verse 21, in the open level country as well as those in the mountainous part. And then it goes on and says, in all the kingdom of Sihon, which all had been the kingdom of Sihon, for the whole kingdom of Sihon was not given to Reuben only, a part of it, and the rest to Gad, which you could see in verse 27 of this chapter when we get there. King of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, same as in Joshua 13:10, whom Moses smote with the princes of Midian, Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, not at the same time that Sion was smitten by him, but afterwards in a war with Midian. In Numbers 31:8 it says, and they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. And over and over and over we see where God has taken care of providing them with a victory, as long as they were doing things God's way. Again, we'll go back to Ai. The first time they left God out of the thing and they went running with their tail between their legs, so to speak. Didn't work out for them. We need to always remember that when we do things God's way, God will give us the victory. When we decide to do them without God, we're on our own and we're going to fall flat on our face. And it's not going to go well for us. So then here, where their names are given as here, and they are called kings of Midian, petty kings, and as it seems by what follows, were subject to Sihon, and therefore are here mentioned. And then which were dukes of Sihon dwelling in the country. For Midian and Kimchi supposes, and not without reason, was under the government of Sihon, and these were his nobles, though they dwelt in the land of Midian. We find that all of the above were given to Reuben's descendants for a possession. There were many cities not even mentioned. Some of them were burned with fire, and some were kept as cities for the Reubenites. Each of the dukes were destroyed along with Sihon. They had ruled their people and had made a treaty with Sihon. They were subordinate to the kings of Sihon. Picking up in verse 22 of Joshua 13, it says, Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. The story of Balaam is found in Numbers chapters 22 through 24. His divided heart, so bent on personal gain, eventually led to his demise as his nation was overtaken by the Israelites. Notice that it was because of his heart bent on personal gain. Now, God doesn't say that we can't increase our wealth, right? He never says that. God never says that we're supposed to be poor and lonely and destitute and all that our whole lives. He doesn't say that. But he does tell us that the love of money is the root of all evil. It can't be that we're so bent on personal gain all the time that we forget about God, that we forget about who he is and what he's done. And as Brother Daniel pointed out, we have what we have because of God. We can pay our bills because God has given us the resources to be able to do that. And I know a lot of people say, well, no, I'm the one that's out there. I'm the one that found the job. I'm the one. You don't think God gave it to you? You don't think God directed you there? You don't think that God keeps you employed there? Well, no, it's, you know, there's so many jobs out there today, no employer would dare fire anyone because how are they going to get anybody to work? Don't kid yourself. You have the job because God gave it to you. Bottom line, God gave you the ability to do the job that you have. We talked yesterday, there's some people who cannot work. God's given you the ability to work. He's given you the job to work. And we should all be working as unto the Lord. Be a good example to others out there. But Balaam, Israel slay with the sword. The Israelite slaying of the infamous false prophet occurred at an unidentified point during the conquest. A soothsayer is the same as a diviner or someone who tells the future. We remember the incident with Balaam and the ass. Balaam pretended to be on the side of the Israelites, but got the Moabite women to entice them into idolatry and adultery. He was killed because of his evil heart. God is not in all this evil and wickedness that's going on. And one day, people will pay for what they've done. It's my desire that people would come to know Christ and change their wicked ways. Those who love the wages of unrighteousness and tempt others to sin may for a time escape punishment, yet their sins are not forgotten, and in due time they will receive the just reward of their deeds. I like the fact that God says, He will repay. Right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. He will take care of it. You know, we sometimes think we have to get even, or maybe even gain a little extra, right? We don't have to. We can just turn it over to God and let Him take care of it. And He will. And He shows us over and over again in His Word that these people that think they're getting away with something are not getting away with anything. And one day, I don't care who they are, one day they're all going to stand before Almighty God and they're going to be judged. Be good for us to remember that too, because one day we will stand before Almighty God also. And what does God say? Judgment begins in the house of God. Verse 23, as we continue on, it says, And the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof, there was the inheritance of the children of Reuben after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. As their border eastward was Aroer on the river Arnon, so their border westward was the river Jordan. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben after their families, the cities of the villages thereof, which Moses gave them on the other side of Jordan. And next, follow an account of the inheritance of the tribe of Gad in those parts. The western side of their inheritance was the Jordan River. All of the list above was divided among Reuben's descendants. All of that land, all of that stuff, all of those people that were conquered by God, and God's the one that gives them that land. People say, no, Joshua's the one that divided it out. No, God's the one that directed how this was to go. Remember, this land was given by Lot. God was involved in all of that. We've got too many times we want to not give credit to God when credit is due to God. And yet we want to give Him credit for things that are not His fault, right? There's sin in the world. It's all God's fault. Why does He allow this to happen? Sin's not in the world because of God. Sin's in the world because of man. People die because of sinful man, not because of an almighty God, a holy God. That was not His plan when He set this all in motion. People say, yeah, but He knew it was going to happen. Of course He knew it was going to happen. He's God. He's been to eternity past all the way to eternity future. He knows it all. But He gave man free will. And it's amazing how many people will blame God for their sin. It's not God's fault. His Word tells us He gives us a way of escape. But if He's given us something, it's ours. It's ours. Right? Well, why do we back down? Why do we back down? When God's given us something, it's ours. Yet we back down and let the enemy have their way with whatever they want. It's not the way it works. God gave it to us, it's ours. Verse 24 says, And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad, according to their families. On the other side of Jordan, as he did to Reuben, even unto the children of Gad, according to their families, according to the number and largeness of them, dividing to each their part and portion. God knew what they needed, right? Just like us, God knows our needs. He also knows our wants. Right? And he says, I will provide your needs. Doesn't say your wants. Now, does he allow us to have some of our wants? Of course he does. But he says specifically, I will provide your needs. Anybody here have a need that has gone unmet? I'm not talking wants, I'm talking needs. I've had some slim times in my life, financially. But we've always eaten. We've always had a roof over our head. Always had clothes on our back. There's some people in the world that can't say that. God's been very good to us. And he's provided a lot. We need to remember all that God has done on our behalf. Verse 25 goes on to say, and their coast was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the children of Ammon, and unto Aroer, that is before Reba. Their southern coast of Jazer, where it is called Jazer. Numbers 21:32 says, and Moses sent to spy out Jazer, and they took the villages thereof and drove out the Amorites that were there. And as it mentioned in Isaiah and Jeremiah, where it is spoken of the city of Moab, as it was in the days of those prophets, in Isaiah 16:8, for the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Sibmah, the lords of the heathen, have broken down the principal plants thereof. They are come unto, even unto Jazer. They wandered through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. Jeremiah 48:32 says, O vine of Sibmah, I will weep for thee with the weeping of Jazer. Thy plants are gone over the sea. They reach even unto the sea of Jazer. Their spoil is fallen upon thy summer fruits, and upon thy vintage, and all the cities of Gilead, which lay in those parts, for the whole was not given to the tribe. Half of Gilead was given to the half tribe of Manasseh. In Joshua 13:31, and half of Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og, and Bashan, were pertaining unto the children of Maker, the son of Manasseh, even to the one half of the children of Maker by their families. And half the land to the children, half the land of the children of Ammon, not what then belonged to them, but what had been taken from them by the Amorites, and which Israel, taking from them, had a right to retain, though they were forbid meddling with any of their land in present possession. In Deuteronomy 2:19 it says, and when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. And Judges 11:13 says, and the king of the children of Ammon answered unto the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from Arnon, even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan. Now therefore restore those lands again peaceably. And he goes on to say, unto Aroer, that is before Reba. Aroer was a city of Moab situated on the river Arnon. Joshua 13:9 says, and Aroer, that is upon the bank of the river of Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Medeba unto Dibon, and stood over against Reba, a city of the Amorites, since called Philadelphia, the same that Joab took in 2 Samuel 12:26, and Joab fought against Reba of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. In Joshua 13:26, going on, says, and from Heshbon unto Ramoth Mizpah and Betonim, and from Mahanim unto the border of Debir. This was their coast from the south to the north, as it describes their eastern border, which reached from Heshbon, given to the tribe of Reuben. And Joshua 13:7 says, now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. To these places mentioned, Ramath Mizpah, the same was Ramoth Gilead, which lay 2 miles from Philadelphia, or Rabath before mentioned, to the east. It should be to the west of Betonim. We nowhere else read. It seems to have been near to Ramath. And from Mahanaim unto the border of Debir. The former of these was the place where the angels met Joab, and who gave it the name from thence. And in later times, a city of his name was built there, and there was the river Jabbok. In Genesis 32, verse 2, it says, And when Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's host, and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Debir is different from that in the tribe of Judah. Joshua 15:15, And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sepher. In Joshua 13:27, And in the valley Beth-Aram, and Beth-Nimrah, and Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, Jordan, and his brother, and his border, even unto the edge of the sea of Chinnereth, on the other side Jordan eastward. The same with Beth-Haran, Numbers 32:36, and Beth-Nimrah and Beth-Haran fenced cities and folds for sheep. And Beth-Nimrah, sometimes called Nimrah. In Numbers 32:3, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elah and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, near to which were some waters called the waters of Nimrim. In Isaiah 15:6, For the waters of Nimrim shall be desolate, for the hay is withered away, the grass faileth, there is no green thing. Sounds pretty desolate there. And Succoth, the place where Jacob pitched his tent after he had passed over Jabbok. And Zaphon, beyond Jordan, 21 miles from Pelah to the south. And the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, which was not given to the tribe of Reuben. In Joshua 13:21, it says, All the cities for the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, whom Moses smote with the princes of Midian, Evi, and Rechem, and Zer, and Hur, and Reba, which were dukes of Sihon, dwelling in the country. And then Jordan and his border, that is, the cities which were near it, as Kimchi, or that were upon the bank of it, as Jerki. Even to the edge of the sea of Chinnereth, the same with the lake of Gennesaret. In Luke 5:1, it says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. On the other side of Jordan eastward, the other from that in which the inheritance of Gad lay, which was beyond Jordan from the land of Canaan. In verse 28 of our text, it says, This is the inheritance of the children of Gad after their families, the cities and their villages. The cities given them, some of which are mentioned by name, and the villages adjacent that belonging to them were included in them. So as they went and they took over these cities, all the villages, the outlying villages, were also part of their inheritance. And sometimes we see where you'll have a city, and then there's all these little villages out and about. And Brother Jordan was here, he was talking about all these little villages and all these different places. And yes, they have the city, but then they have all these villages where they have with their huts and all. Those are all part of that as well. If you know anything about the postal codes, you'll see there's a city and there's the city borders and all, but the outlying areas also have that same city as their post office delivery. They get their mail from those areas. So there's kind of that idea, only not the same, but kind of giving you an idea of what the outlying stuff is. Each tribe had their land divided up among their families. Gad's inheritance joined Reuben's on one side. It extended to the Sea of Galilee, Chinnereth, and to Jordan on one side. On the other side, it joined the inheritance of the half-tribe of Manasseh near the Sea of Galilee. They inherited many cities and villages along with the land. You're getting a picture. This God gave them an awful lot of land. An awful lot of land. And yet, again, to this day, they only are in possession of just a fraction of it. It's crazy to think that God did great and mighty things in overtaking all of these kings and kingdoms and all, and gave it to Israel, and basically Israel squandered it. It's their land. God gave it to them. If God went before them and took out all of these kings and kingdoms and all for them, would he not do that today? If they're obedient to him? He certainly would. Verse 29 says, "And Moses gave inheritance unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, and this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families. Some of Manasseh's people settled on the far side of the Jordan River, while half crossed over and were given an inheritance with the rest of the tribes. This geographical separation is why they are referred to as the half-tribe of Manasseh." In Joshua 13:30 it says, "And their coast was from Maham, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jer, which are in Bashan, 70 cities." Mahanaim, a place in the tribe of Gad, which was the boundary of the half-tribe that way. Bashan and all the towns of Jer, which are in Bashan, 70 cities. All of Bashan, so famous for its oxen and for its pasturage for them and for its oaks. All the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, which besides Bashan took in the kingdom of Argob, or Tekonitis, half of the land of Gilead, all which was possessed by the half-tribe of Manasseh. In Deuteronomy 3:13, "And the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which was called the land of giants. And all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 70 cities of Jair, and his relation to Manasseh, and of his taking these cities, and the number of them." 70 is 60 cities they inhabited. The inheritance of the half-tribe of Manasseh lay north of the inheritance of Gad. Going on with verse 31, it says, "And half Gilead and Ashtaroth and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan, were pertaining unto the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, even to the half of the children of Machir by their families." The other half not given to the Gadites, who had that half of it which Sihon possessed, and the tribe of Manasseh, that half of it which Og possessed. In Deuteronomy 3:12 it says, "And this land which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites. And Ashtaroth and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan, which are particularly mentioned because royal cities." Joshua 13:10, "And all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, under the border of the children of Ammon." And Deuteronomy 1:4, "After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei." Were pertaining to the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, and who was his only son, however to his posterity, only was this inheritance given, though not to all of them, even to the half of the children of Machir by their families, which seemed to confirm it that Manasseh had no other son, since his whole posterity, both the half-tribe on the other side as well as that in the land of Canaan, were denominated from him. In 1 Chronicles 7:14, the sons of Manasseh, Asheriel, whom she bare, but his concubine, the Amoritess, bare Machir, the father of Gilead. Then the children of Machir, whom before he called the children of Manasseh, he now calls the children of Machir, because Machir was their most eminent, and as it may seem, the only surviving son of Manasseh. In Numbers 26:29, of the sons of Manasseh, of Machir, the family of the Machirites, and Maker begat Gilead. Of Gilead came the family of the Gileadites. In Joshua 13:32, it says, "These are the countries which Moses did distribute for the inheritance in the plains of Moab on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward," which is particularly described that each might know their proper portion. On the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward of the land of Canaan, of Jordan by Jericho. This was the area that had belonged to Moab. The area here was actually part of the Jordan Valley. The Jordan River flowed by the city of Jericho. The main thing we must see in all of this is that God gave each one by inheritance the land they needed to take care of their families properly. All of this was on the eastern side of the Jordan River. The land taken from Og and Sihon became the land of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And then our last verse in this chapter, "But unto the tribe of Levi Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them." The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. They received their support in conducting his worship from the tithes and offerings of the people. God did not give this tribe a normal allotment of land. This suited his choice of Levites for the special ministry of the tabernacle service. Their inheritance consisted in this unique role to share his holy ministrations. God did assign them cities and adjacent lands. They had to have a place to dwell, right? So he gave them that. But they were not given land for an inheritance. That was not what they were given. In Joshua 14:4, "For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance." In Numbers 35, verses 2 and then 4 and 5, "Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them." Verse 4, "And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities." And they were scattered around in 48 places. Joshua 21:41, "And all the cities of the Levites within the possession of the children of Israel were 48 cities with their suburbs throughout all the tribes." This made these religious servants accessible to all the people. They need to be, right? Need to be accessible. So this allowed that to happen because they were spread out. The tribe of Levi did not inherit land because they had been chosen to minister to the Lord. Their inheritance was the cities they dwelt in, and they shared the offerings with the altar of God. They were not to go to war, nor were they to raise a cash crop. Their work was in the tabernacle or in the temple. That's the way God designed it for them. That's the way it was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be, they were supposed to be accessible to the people. How are they going to be accessible to the people if they're constantly out doing other stuff? So God set it up that they would be, and how did God provide for them? The tithes and offerings through the temple. They were taken care of. It's biblical the way God's laid it out for how things are supposed to be done. Now, some people have a problem with that, but that's what the way God laid it out. I've talked to people that say that they should never pay the pastor of a church. He should do it because he loves to serve God. It's not the way God designed it. He still has to be taken care of. Still has to be provided for. And so whether people like it or not, that's the way God designed it, all the way back to the temple. And he hasn't changed it. From what I read, God doesn't change his mind. So he hasn't changed it. It's still the same way it's supposed to be. And so we're out of time now, so we'll start with chapter 14, Lord willing, next week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are very thankful for your word, thankful for even these difficult things where they're dividing the land and we may not understand the whole thing, but it's in your word, it's part of it, and it's meant to be distributed to the people. And so we need to understand and get a good, clear understanding of exactly what Israel was given and what they could possess today had they just been obedient. And I pray, Father, that we would be obedient to your word and that we would not lack any of the blessings that you have for us because of our disobedience. And we thank you for all that you're going to do in the upcoming service. We'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.